You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Andy, I guess update is Ryan O'Reilly, he out tonight for sure?
Yeah, no, he's out for sure, Jason. And listen, great to be with you, man. It's been a little while, so it's good to hear your voice once again and be back on Edmonton Radio. Yeah, so Ryan O'Reilly is out. Brandon Saad is out. And, you know, the Blues and Colorado, they faced each other. The first game of the regular season, Colorado didn't have McKinnon. He was out with a COVID issue. And they didn't have Gabriel Landeskog either, who was out with a suspension. So they were shorthanded. And now the two teams face off against one another tonight, and the Blues are going to be shorthanded. So, again, we'll see how it plays out. The Blues are certainly confident. They feel good about themselves. Their biggest strength so far this season has been their depth. They've added some players in the offseason. They look very strong offensively. They're averaging 5 goals a game. So we'll see how they do without their number one center and a guy who does pretty much everything in addition to their first-line left winger. So David Perron, he's the only player, the only holdover tonight, who is usually playing on that top line. So Braden Schenn will step up and play with him tonight, and we'll see how that goes. It's going to be an interesting test for the Blues.
Well, yeah, because Colorado's an interesting one. They're struggling for their standards. Most people thought they'd run away with that division. That hasn't been the case at all. And the Blues are a team that, and I want to get to Tarasenko, Andy, because Tarasenko is a fascinating one. I look at Ron Francis, and Tarasenko only had 2 years left in his contract. The guy's a legit scorer. He could have got him for nothing, and the Blues put him out there to lose for nothing. Man, they got to be doing cartwheels that Seattle didn't claim him the way Tarasenko looks.
Well, maybe, and I think there's some other teams also, Jason, that maybe had some interest that were scared. And listen, some teams had reason to be scared. There was a lot of stuff being floated around out there about Tarasenko. Some accurate, some not so accurate. But, of course, he had the back-to-back-to-back shoulder surgeries. He had only played a handful of games the last couple of years. He hasn't scored a whole lot, so the production was down. And, not to mention that, you know, he's making $9.5 million this season. Now, some teams obviously have the space, and he does have a no-trade clause. I mean, listen, everything was kind of working against Vladimir Tarasenko in terms of getting moved this past offseason because – even though he wanted to get moved. Like I said, there was a lot of stuff working against him with the injury, the lack of production, the no trade clause, all of that stuff. So, but listen, sometimes the best trade you make is the one that you don't make. Isn't that how, you know what they say? And in the case of Doug Armstrong, maybe that's the case. I mean, listen, every player has a moment. I think in the case of Vladimir Tarasenko this past offseason, he had a moment. I think there was a level of frustration that he hadn't experienced in probably his entire hockey life, just in terms of, you know, struggling offensively at a level that he had never experienced before. And to see him get off to a good start is obviously huge. And, you know, you look at Tarasenko, the type of goals he's scoring, how he's scoring. I mean, this guy is just dripping with confidence right now. He's playing on a line that he's comfortable in. He's still on the number one power play. He's got a couple of game winners to start the season off as well. He's scored some dazzling goals. And, you know, he's a guy who obviously has been very impressive here to begin the season. So, listen, all is well for Tarasenko right now. And I can tell you this with certainty. I mean, if he gets moved and if he ever gets traded, it's not happening anytime soon. I can promise you that.
Andy Strickland joins us talking about the St. Louis Blues. And your goaltender, Jordan Binnington, with Carey Price uncertain if he's going to be ready for the Olympics, and Marc-Andre Fleury struggling behind the worst defensive structure in the National Hockey League, Jordan Binnington might find himself as Canada's starting goaltender in the Olympics. Like, he's got a lot to play for here in the next few months.
Well, he does. And you know for sure that he wants to be on that Olympic team. There's no question about that. And not to mention Doug Armstrong happens to be the GM and he's watching him play every single day. And, you know, Darcy Kemper is another player who certainly is going to be on that short list as well. And, you know, obviously Doug Armstrong is going to have a chance to watch him play tonight for Colorado. You know, goaltending is such a mental position. You know, it's one thing to be a great goaltender, Jason, on a team with no expectations that's not very good. But then all of a sudden things change and they change very quickly. When you go to a team that not only has high expectations, but expects to win a Stanley Cup, and that's the situation he's in right now. So how that plays out over the course of the season with him in Colorado, you know, remains to be seen. I wouldn't make any predictions by any means. You know, we see teams every year, Jason, who have high expectations, who don't meet those. We see teams that kind of come out of nowhere, that exceed expectations. you know, Colorado has so much talent up front and obviously on the back end as well. But again, for whatever reason, they haven't put it together. I'm looking forward to watching them play tonight up close and get an idea of just where they're at. You know, obviously Nathan MacKinnon has been such a world-class player for them for years. And even though he's gotten some assists and put up some points, I think he has one goal this season. So there's no question COVID maybe, you know, led to him getting off to a slow start. You know, Cale Makar hasn't gotten off to the start that you would expect from him. You look at his plus minus right now. I think he's minus -9 on the season right now, Jason. So again, you got to think at some point in time they're going to get it together. But it's been a little bit of a rocky start to begin the season for the Avalanche.
Oh, totally been a rocky start. Now, the Blues, outside of scoring a lot of goals, Andy, they've only allowed 11 in five games. Yeah. How much is that as goaltending? How much is that as team defense?
Well, I think whenever you look at that, it's got to be a combination of the two. You know, defensively, there were a lot of question marks coming into the season of, you know, how good the Blues would be. I know, you know, Doug Armstrong had some ideas in mind in terms of what he wanted to accomplish on the back end heading into the season, and he wasn't able to do that. You know, whether the player wanted too much money, whether they wanted too much term, as was the case with a guy like Ryan Suter. I mean, the Blues were really in on Ryan Suter, but they certainly weren't going to give him the four-year contract that Dallas gave him. At his age, that wasn't going to happen. And you look at some of the dollars that were thrown around with some defensemen in the NHL. I mean, he elected just to stay put. Now, you know, after last season, I remember asking Doug Armstrong, could you picture a guy like Jake Walman or even a Nico Mikkola to project into your top six to start the season next year? And he was very wishy-washy about that. In fact, Mikkola hasn't even played a game yet. Played a number of games last season. But Jake Walman has been a pleasant surprise. He's a guy who's got elite NHL skating ability. I mean, elite NHL skating ability. I mean, it doesn't translate into offensive production, but he's been a huge piece for this team this year in terms of how they're defending. But Colton Parayko has been the horse back there. Last season, he wasn't healthy. You talk about Team Canada. He's on the short list for Team Canada. When this guy is on, and we saw it a few years back when the Blues won the Stanley Cup, he is a legit top five defender, one-on-one defender in the National Hockey League. Hands down, there's no question about it. We've seen him play in the World Championships for Canada. We saw in the World Cup a few years back what this guy is capable of doing, who he is, and how, you know, the level of play that he's capable of playing at. And this season, he is healthy once again. And if you isolate your eyes on him and watch him play, there's no question he is playing like an alpha male on the back end, like a true legitimate number one, even though he doesn't play the number one power play, doesn't play the power play at all. So again, the production may not be there, but from a defensive standpoint, he's leading the charge. But I think defense is something to pay attention to for the Blues as we move along throughout the course of the season between now and the trade deadline. You know, where are they? How comfortable is Doug Armstrong with his defense as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline and then obviously the playoffs? Does he feel like this group is good enough to win another Stanley Cup, or will he choose to go out there and make a move? Because I think if you talk to people who truly watch this team and watch the NHL, I think some people would say, you know what, the Blues are really, really good, as deep as any team in the NHL offensively. I mean, they don't have that alpha male line maybe that you guys have there in Edmonton or certainly in Colorado that we're going to see here tonight. But they've got a lot of really, really good players. I mean, 3 second lines and probably a third line in terms of the 12 forwards they throw out there every single night. But will they look to improve their defense and go out there and get a defenseman, maybe slot Scandella a little bit down the lineup to truly give you some extra depth and give you a chance to win? That's something to pay attention to as we move forward. But right now, there's no question they're getting it done.
Andy Strickland joins us. Andy, quickly, outside of the WWE headbutt, how has Buchnevich fit in?
He's been good. I mean, you know, I think he's only played 3 games, right? So far this season. So, you know, and the second game he played, I think he scored a goal against Arizona, and then he got tossed relatively early in that game. You know, it's interesting because, you know, last season, you know, he didn't play against a lot of the teams that he's seen here in the early going this year. In fact, I was talking to him, you know, the player who he headbutted, Lawson Crosby, he didn't even know who he was from Arizona. You know, he had never played against them before. So I think he's still learning in terms of playing in the West. And I think there was, listen, when you play with guys like Panarin, Zibanejad, you know, high-octane, elite-level offensive players, I think the transition mentally of leading those players is very, very difficult. But you know, there's four Russian players on this team. They all hang out together. You've got Barbashev, who's one of the most underrated players in the Western Conference, certainly on the Blues. People don't realize how good he is. He's got a five-game scoring streak heading into tonight. He's really good playing with Thomas and Tarasenko. And, you know, you have Tarasenko. You have Clint Costin, who's a young Russian. Like, all these guys hang out together. So there is a level of comfort for him. And some guys are just a good fit. I mean, it's no different than Jake Neighbors, the former Edmonton Oil King. We'll see what happens with him as he inches closer to that 10-game mark where they're going to have to make a decision. But he's just a good fit for the Blues. I mean, some guys are just really good players, but they may not be a good fit with the organization that drafts them or where they're playing. You know, guys like Buchnevich, guys like Saad, even James Neal to a lesser extent, but Jake Neighbors, these guys are just really good fits for how the Blues like to play and what the expectations are from head coach Craig Berube. And there's something to be said for that because Buchnevich truly, I know it's cliche, 200-foot player, but he's responsible. He can play on both ends of the ice, and he can hang on to the puck, you know, control that, you know, play that, you know, down-low cycle game. He's physical. He's been really good, man. He's a good fit here in St. Louis, and obviously he's going to be here for a long time.
Do you think Jake Neighbors stays, like, you know, Edmonton did it with Leon Draisaitl. They let him stay up until, I think it was game 37. Then they sent him back. They burnt his ECL, and then he went back to junior and, you know, ended up winning Memorial Cup. Went to the Memorial Cup. Jake Neighbors, Edmonton's really good in the Western League. Is Neighbors a guy, like, can he, when everybody's healthy, you know, Saad's back and Buchnevich isn't suspended, where is Neighbors going to play? Do you ultimately think it's best for his development to be there?
The way he fits in right now, he's living with Braden Schenn and just, you know, his maturity and how he's transitioned into the NHL. I don't think a whole lot of people had him penciled in when training camp began. I can tell you that. But he hasn't hurt himself at all. I mean, just little things, Jay. Listen, Jason, he's killing penalties late in games. You know, there's something to be said for that at 19, to be on a PK on a team like this, late in games. You know, he can get pucks out. He can get pucks in. He's got sneaky, sneaky skill. You know, he's on the fourth line right now. That's not what he projects to be as we move along. They're going to get Oscar Sundquist back, too, very, very soon. And this guy's a hell of a hockey player. And so, yeah, there's going to have to be some decisions that are going to have to be made. But as, you know, just the way he's playing right now, I don't see him coming out. The head coach absolutely loves him. I can tell you this. The plan wasn't just to keep him here and have them stretch out the nine games like you've seen some other teams do, where he sits, mm-hmm. you know, three or four games, and he gets back in an effort just to prolong the decision. I think the universal decision-making between the GM and the head coach here was that, hey, if he's going to stay, then you got to play him. He's going to be in the lineup every single night. And that's the way it's been here thus far. Now, could he fall off? Could he struggle? And all of a sudden they have to make a decision and send him back. I mean, that's absolutely into the equation. And like I mentioned, Sundquist coming back. They like Costin. You've got James Neal. I mean, we'll see what happens between now and the time that decision has to be made in terms of injuries and how healthy they are. But as it sits right now, I mean, he looks like a player that you can count on to play every single night. And it just doesn't look like that's going to change. So this is going to be something very interesting to see what they do. Listen, there's some value of playing in the World Juniors and all that. Doug Armstrong is a Hockey Canada guy, but his allegiance is certainly first to the St. Louis Blues. And he's not just a guy that's here, a young guy with a cute story. He's helping the team win. Like, he's a really, really good hockey player.
Andy, as always, man, great to catch up with you again. Enjoy the season with the Blues, and we'll see if they can go 6-0 tonight against the struggling Avalanche.
All right, you got it, Jason. Always great to talk to you, man. We'll be in touch.